Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Don't look now, but July is all but in the rearview mirror. Man, this month has flown by. And so welcome to Tuesday. And so I was talking with Paul, and we had talked about Marvelous Monday and Magnificent Monday and all of that, and some other possibilities that weren't quite so glamorous were Mad Monday, Manic Monday, Miserable Monday. Just all if that was your Monday yesterday, I pray that today will be a better day for you. If you are having a rough day, I want to encourage you to get through it, deal with the issues, and allow God to bring the change to you that needs to be made, and that you do have a tremendous Tuesday here in Brevard County. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida, and 165 North Grove Street, just a couple of blocks north of 520, a couple of blocks west of Courtney Parkway. And we can smell Carrabba's whenever they're cooking. The sea breeze brings that wood smell, that burning wood smell, right over our church property. And boy, does that whet your appetite when you hear that, or when you step outside and smell that. But today we're going to be going into the Word of God. We're going to be talking about you shall not steal. This is one of the ways that God delivers us from evil. He tells us what not to do as well as what to do. And so you shall not steal will deliver you from a lot of heartache, a lot of pain, keep you out of the bad graces of God. And that's always a good thing. I want to be on the good side of God, not on the bad side of God. And I pray that you do as well. So today we're going to be going to the book of Jeremiah, And we're going to be looking at verse number 30. We're going to talk about some theft that takes place inside the house of God, inside the people of God, and that God is not pleased with it. And so Jeremiah chapter 23, we're going to read in verse number 30. Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, says the Lord, who steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, says the Lord, who use their tongues and say, he says. Behold, I am against those who prophesy false dreams, says the Lord, and tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their recklessness. Yet I did not send them or command them, therefore they shall not profit this people at all, says the Lord. The principle we want to talk about today is do not steal God's word or the opportunity to hear God's word from those that God wants to hear. And so you might not think that this is a big deal, but I think it is a bigger deal. I think it's got wider application than what we might think. There are people in governments around the globe. There are some people in governments here in the United States that are trying to prevent people from hearing the word of God. They are literally trying to steal the privilege of hearing God's word away from their constituents. There is tremendous persecution breaking out in China. I read a headline a couple of weeks ago that said that there were some religious people that were imploring the people outside of China, do not ignore the Chinese Holocaust that is taking place against Christians right now. That was their words, not my words. My thing is, I don't believe that it is going to be a long-term success plan for governments that want to try and steal the privilege of hearing God's word. Now, I will also tell you this, that if our relationship with God is not right, then our horizontal relationship with other people, if we do not get the first four commandments right, then it is not going to be very successful in having obedience to the last six of the commandments. And so if we do not honor God, then it is not going to be long before we are oppressing other people. I remember a person that attended my church when we first came, and he was an elderly man. When he made this statement, he would have just been a little under 80. I would have been 30. And he made this statement. He said, in order for dictators to remain in power, all they have to do is kill their own people. They cause them to live in fear, and they cause them to live in terror. But most of the communist countries around the world want you to be communist rather than hearing the word of God. And so they make it a criminal offense to proclaim the word of God or to grant people access to the word of God. They've bulldozed churches, they close churches, they imprison pastors, they persecute and kill those that will not comply. And in doing so, they steal the opportunity to hear God's word from people. And so I believe that many places around the globe where the gospel is not welcomed right now is not because the gospel has never been there, but someone in a position of power at some point in time had made a decision that they were going to steal the word of God from every ensuing generation that came up after them. And that is not a long-term success plan. Okay? And so stealing God's word is very serious. There is more access to the word of God right now in America and probably around the world than there ever has been. If you do not understand one translation, there's another translation that may help you to understand that better. If you can't read, there's audio Bibles that you can buy on CD or DVD. There are audio recorders that are downloaded with nothing but the scripture. In some non-literate societies around the globe, there are ways that people can hear the gospel, whether it's via a phone call or on a satellite phone or whether it is on a little micro disc. All sorts of ways that people can get the word of God. You can hear the word of God on the radio like you're doing right now. You can hear the word of God in person in many places around. You can hear the word of God 24 hours a day on television. There is tremendous access to the word of God. But there are also some ways that we steal the opportunity to hear God's word away from people that maybe we haven't thought about. For me, there was a time where I had to address it with someone because during a message, there was such a distraction that was going on that we had a visitor that was with us that day who said, I'm sorry, I just couldn't hear the message today. I couldn't focus on hearing because of the distraction. Someone had deprived another person of hearing the gospel that day. That was not one of my happier things that I'd ever heard. Sometimes it is because people are talking and conversing amongst themselves and they don't realize how loud they are talking. So it might be unintentional, but it still deprives somebody. And believe me, I'm someone who understands that your voice can be louder than what you intended it to be. When I was in seventh grade, my name was the very first name in the alphabetical roster. We had just moved from grade school up to junior high school back in those days. It was seventh, eighth, and ninth grade. I can still remember the name of the teacher, Mrs. Cottrell. And she had said that there wasn't supposed to be any talking in class. And And that's something that happened, and I turned around and I was talking to the person behind me. I don't remember who that was, but all of a sudden their eyes got real big. And when I turned around, there was Mrs. Cottrell bending down, and she says, "Your whisper is not as quiet as you think it is. You're not supposed to be talking in class." Yes, ma'am. And so if whenever you're just talking to somebody, listen, not only when you are talking, are you possibly interrupting someone else from hearing the gospel, but it's pretty difficult for you to be talking and listening at the same time. And so you may also be depriving your own self. You may be stealing an opportunity from hearing God's word from your own self. You might, you know, whether it's constantly getting up and down during a church service or whatever, all of those things have the possibility of unintentionally stealing the opportunity of hearing God's word from somebody else. Okay. And so pastors, we are charged with the responsibility of hearing from heaven, hearing a message from heaven that God has for our church, for our day and time, a timely word in due season. So we cannot just simply go and appropriate someone else's message and say, "This is a thus saith the Lord word for my church," if you've not heard, "This is a thus saith the Lord word for your church." Now, you know, we all hear jokes, we hear stories and things like that. And so we can go ahead and utilize those. There is a preacher that I know, he's pretty famous. He started the Dream Center out in Los Angeles, California, and that has given rise to a number of other Dream Centers around the world. And he jokes and says this, when you share something and I hear it, and I decide that I'm going to share that, the first time that I say that, I'm going to say, "So-and-so said." He said, "The second time that I share that, I'm going to say, 'It has been said.' The third time, whenever I say that, I'm going to say, 'Like I've always said.'" You know, it becomes a part of who we are. We're not supposed to be plagiarizing sermons. We're supposed to have a timely word in due season from God from heaven for our people, because they're the people that we are supposed to be shepherding. And a word that might have been a timely word in due season for another church may be a great word, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you are supposed to go and appropriate that. You know, I read an article about a church, a mega church pastor whose staff person came to him and said, "Pastor, I don't know if you know this, but there's someone else and they're preaching your messages and posting them online." And they did an investigation and found out, sure enough, there was a person who was utilizing the same stories and the same illustrations and the same outline. And they were taking all of the credit, using it as if it had happened to them, and it hadn't. And all of a sudden, whenever that happens, then you have a credibility lack. It's, you know, if you hear something great, don't be afraid to share it. But you'll hear me say something like this: if I've heard something, "This didn't originate with me. Someone else said it. I just don't remember who it was. But it's a great thought." And so stuff like that is okay, but let's make sure that we're not depriving people of the opportunity to hear the gospel. And second, that we are not undermining the credibility of the gospel. Another way that we could be robbing people of the opportunity to hear the gospel is Romans chapter 10 says, "How shall they hear unless someone is sent?" And so right now, we're going to be at General Council this week, and there's going to be a great missionary commission that takes place in sending off through the community. There's going to be a time of missionary renewal because we want people all around the globe to have the opportunity to hear the gospel. The Great Commission is go into all the world, not wait until the world comes to you. And so we are very intent. Now if I asked you, I mean, how many of you would like to go to heaven? I think most people would say yes. But the Bible says that the end is not going to come until the gospel has been taken to the ends of the earth. And so we need to make sure that we are availing. I mean, that's what we're here doing here on the radio program. We're availing the gospel, making available the gospel to people in Brevard County that I will never meet. Many of people who are listening, I will never see you face to face. The first time I see you will be around the throne room of heaven rejoicing. And so let's go back to Jeremiah chapter 30. And he says that the consequence, the result of people who are stealing God's word from the people, it says that it causes people to err. Now, that's an abbreviated version of the word error. It's causing God's people to live in error instead of living in truth. Causing people to live a lifestyle that God is not pleased with. That's not good. And it goes on and it says, you're causing my people to err by their lies and by their recklessness. So because these people were stealing God's word, then they were free to lie to people. And the result was that there was recklessness in God's house. There was recklessness with God's word. There was carelessness with God's word. And it damages people's lives. You know, Jesus said, it's not going to go well with a person that causes one of these little ones to stumble. That's not good. I don't want to have that sort of legacy. The word of God is settled forever in heaven. It is not going to change. I believe that there are many people who are propagating an erroneous word in our modern day and time, and it is resulting in sinful behavior in people, and they're not even aware that they're living a reckless and careless life. You know, Balaam, it was said, your path is a reckless one, because he wasn't listening to God. He was looking for an advantageous way for his own pockets to be lined instead of being a voice for God that would bless his people. He was about to be utilized as a voice of harm to God's people, but God turned his curse, God turned Balaam's curse into a blessing, and he can do the same for us. So let's not deprive people of the opportunity. And if you have an unsaved loved one or an unsaved neighbor or coworker, don't steal the opportunity from them to hear the word of God just because we're a little afraid or we're a little unsure of ourselves. We cannot afford that. They cannot afford that. There is no other way to be saved except by Jesus. No other name under heaven to be saved but by Jesus. And if we really believe that, we're going to be highly motivated to fulfill the Great Commission. How motivated are you to share the love of Jesus with somebody? We can see in our day and time that there are people who are believing things that are not in the Bible, and they are living their lives in a manner that is not pleasing and acceptable to God's sight and God's sight. So we need to do a better job of communicating what God's word has to say and how he wants us to live. Exodus chapter 18, we'll close out here today. So Exodus, Ezekiel chapter 18. When you can look at Ezekiel and say Exodus, you need to clean your glasses. Ezekiel chapter 18, and we'll read verses 12 through 18. Verse number 10. If he begets a son who is a robber or a shedder of blood, who does any of these things and does none of those duties, but is eaten on the mountains or defiled his neighbor's wife, if he has oppressed the poor and needy, robbed by violence, not restored the pledge, lifted his eyes to idols or committed abomination, if he has exacted usury or taken increase, shall he then live? He shall not live. If he has done any of these abominations, he shall surely die. His blood shall be upon him. If, however, he begets a son which sees all the sins which his father has done and considers but does not do likewise, who has not eaten on the mountains, nor lifted his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, nor defiled his neighbor's wife, has not oppressed anyone, nor withheld a pledge, nor robbed by violence, but has given his bread to the hungry and covered the naked with clothing, who has withdrawn his hand from the poor and not received usury or increase, but has executed my judgments and walked in my statutes, he shall not die for the iniquity of his father, he shall surely live. As for his father, because he cruelly oppressed, robbed his brother by violence, and did what is not good among his people, behold, he shall die for his iniquity. What God told Ezekiel here is every one of us is going to be held accountable as to how we treated our brother, our neighbor, whether we robbed them or whether we blessed them, whether we lie to them, whether we tell them the truth, whether we commit adultery or don't commit adultery. There is going to be an individual accounting, not just a corporate accounting. It's not just going to be a nation. It is an individual. And so a father could suffer one fate, but the son suffer a different fate. It has to do with how we respond to the truth of God's word. And so here in Ezekiel, one of the things that is mentioned is that there are people who use violence to rob people so that they themselves are benefited personally, simply because they're bigger or stronger or richer or more influential or more connected or more powerful, and they either do violence or threaten violence to oppress the poor. Here's what I want to let you know. The measure that we use is the measure that will be used against us. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men pour into our bosom. That means, now, specifically in context, that was talking about forgiveness, the way that we forgive. But if we are also using violence to steal everything that we can get simply because we are more violent than another person is, or we're more powerful than they are, that you can rest assured that there's someone that is coming your direction that is going to be more powerful than you are. You know, what was it I saw? I think I saw a fisherman who caught a fish, and the fish that he caught was being eaten by a bigger fish, and he caught both of them. There's somebody that's coming along. And then there, you always read stories about fishermen that are reeling, you know, in a pretty good catch, and either a shark or a grouper or a killer whale comes along and steals the catch right away from them. You know, we live in a very violent world. There's always someone bigger. And when it comes to kingdoms rising and falling, it's not just because you are more numerous. It's not because you have greater military might. If God withdraws his hand, it is only a matter of time before you fall. The result of this passage in Ezekiel is a person who does rob by violence, that their life is going to end up being destroyed. It says in verse number 18, "Behold, he shall die for his iniquity." By the way, the Bible does say the soul that sins shall die. Okay? And so don't think that you have a clause in the contract that says unless you are so-and-so. That's not the way it works. It also says that the person who does everything the way that God wants to them to live, by not robbing by violence, by treating people with the love and the respect that God wants them to be treated with, that you shall live. And I want you to know that God intends for you to live an enjoyable life, an abundant life, a peace-filled life. He wants you to live a fruitful life, a faithful life. He wants you to live a life in accordance with the Word of God. He wants to live a life that you are going to be pleased with and that's going to be a blessing to others. He wants you to have abundant life. So let's look for a way to be blessings to other people and not be looking at them as a way to take something from them. That's not going to get you the desire that you want. You know, one of the things that we said to our kids when they were growing up is you don't always want what you think you want. There may be some side effects. And you might say, man, I've got to have that by any means necessary. You may find that once you get a hold of that thing, that it's not what you wanted at all. And you can't get rid of it for love nor money. So God bless you. That's where we're going to stop today. We will be back tomorrow right here on WMIE 91.5 FM and WWBC 1510 AM. And we will talk about more ways that we are not supposed to steal. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on
Refresh. Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."